This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3848, for Wednesday, the 3rd of May, 2023. Today's show is entitled, Editing Thunderbird Email Filters Using Vim. It is the 30th show of Some Guy on the Internet, and is about 31 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, Scotty uses Vim sessions to quickly edit his email filters.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, Some Guy on the Internet. Today we're discussing Thunderbird filters. I'm going to be typing while discussing this episode, so if you hear the clicking in the background, it can't be avoided. I want to go over a couple of prerequisites with you. There are five in total, but I'm only going to discuss the first two really quickly. First one, back up all of your data, especially your Thunderbird directory. Again, all of your data needs to be backed up. Step two, confirm your backups. Make sure that they're working. Try restoring one of your backups before proceeding. All right, you can read through the rest in the show notes of the other prerequisites. Let's begin. All right, I'm going to be doing this from a GNU Linux distribution. Pop OS is the distribution that I'm using. So I have the apt package manager. My Thunderbird install is through the package manager, so it's the .deb file. The install is in the home/.thunderbird subdirectory. I have some information for those of you on other distributions, or if you're using different package managers, there's some information down in the show notes. All right, we're going to be using Vim to manipulate the filters because the filters are located within the .thunderbird directory, but it's going to have like a alphanumeric string followed by .default release. That's if you have a single instance of Thunderbird. If you have multiple instances, it will be the alphanumeric string .default release followed by a -1 or -2, that kind of nomenclature. Then further down into the subdirectories, you'll have your IMAP mail followed by the account itself. So if it's at Google, it'll say .imap.google or Yahoo or whatever you got. Within that subdirectory, there will be the messagefilterrules.dat file. The messagefilterrules.dat file is your filters. We're going to use Vim to navigate to that file, open it up, and then I'm also going to use Vim to open up the Vim session that I'm using. But first, let's talk about the Vim session. The Vim sessions, they're just files that store information about your working session. The one that I crafted for Thunderbird, it's a custom one. I just created an empty file, file name .vim. And then I imported or created the rules that I wanted for that session inside of that file. So if you're familiar with Vim mappings, I mapped out a bunch of things that I want to do within that file. So now I can source that file. When you source a Vim session, it's basically extending Vim. So you don't have to carry all of those different functions that you've created into every single project. You can have a custom set per project. Example, when I'm doing the old no news, I don't want those functions present when I'm editing a Thunderbird filter because that's a lot of markdown and the Thunderbird filter has no markdown in it. So let's begin. I'll first set up the work environment by opening up the message filter that I'm going to be using so you can navigate in your system, find your email account that you'd want to edit the filters for. And while I'm on that topic, you're going to want to first create filters because obviously if you don't have any, then you can't edit them. So I'm going to use Vim, navigate to the correct account, grab that filter file and open it up. I'm going to be making edits directly within the filter file, but the complex work itself that happens to the section of the filter will happen in another file that I call CB. In my home directory, I have a file called CB. CB is short for clipboard. It's just a basic text file, no extension or anything like that, because Linux does not require you to have extensions for it to recognize the use of the file. And I created it using touch, but I'm going to open up CB as well. So that way I can copy the filter from the filter file, you know, the important part that I'm going to edit, copy that over to CB, and then begin the complex work within CB. So CB is going to actually have the source of the Vim session, where all the complex work will happen. Let's begin. If you're new to Thunderbird in the audience and you want to hear more about creating the filters themselves, just let me know. Leave a comment down below and I'll do a show on creating filters. I also wanted to update Thunderbird's documentation on the subject. However, it was this long sort of loop around of you have to use your Mozilla account, not the Thunderbird account, which I thought Thunderbird had broken away from Mozilla when they created their own website. So you use your Mozilla account, then you have to, I believe they require you to use Sumo or something like that. It's some sort of markup language that they use, which was kind of weird. And I just wanted to use, you know, either text or you know, Pandoc flavored Markdown. I'll eventually get around to figuring out more about their submission requirements for updating documentation, and then I'll try to update their documentation. But until then, I'll probably just create my own because it'll be faster. I can just use the technology that I already have at hand, which is Markdown, and it's great. I'll probably have to include some pictures and things of that nature as well. And I plan on doing a video on it in the future. So we have Vim open with two buffers. That is our filter in one buffer that we're going to be grabbing the actual filtering properties from. And we have CB, which is my clipboard text file, in the second buffer. I'll have CB sourced to the Vim session that I want to use. And later on, we'll go into detail about the Vim session. All right now I'm going to open Thunderbird and I'll just give you a brief on how my filters are set up. Just a quick little brief there. So if you open up Thunderbird, you press Alt, it'll bring your menu bar down. Then you can use T to go to Tools and F to go to Message Filters. Inside of my filters for the account that I'm about to be editing, I have my junk filters at the very top. You know, there's the spam assassin. I turn that on and off depending on how I feel, followed by one that I call deleted. That just holds domains in it that I want to delete all messages from. And I have two more after that called junk filters. Now, the reason I have separated deleted from junk, the deleted filter will take away mail that I intentionally subscribe to, but no longer wish to receive mail from. I do not want to classify those innocent newsletters and other projects as junk. I just no longer wish to receive messages from them. And I'm not about to go through the whole unsubscribe, why do you want to unsubscribe, were we not helpful, blah, blah, blah. And who knows, in the future, I may want to receive information from them again, but I'd have to sign up for it again. So with this method, I just throw them in the delete filter, which will automatically delete all things from them. And what I do inside of that filter, I specify the domain. So you'll have newsletter@newsgroup.com. I'll remove the portion that says newsletter and only keep the @newsgroup.com. And that way, anything from @newsgroup.com that enters my inbox will be filtered out. It'll just be deleted. Now, the junk filters that I have, those are just things I don't know how I got on their mail list, but I no longer want to receive it. And I want it marked as junk. So that's why I have the separate deleted filters. The junk one also deletes, but it marks them as junk first. From there, I have a few tag filters for any bills or obligations that I may have. When that information comes in, it will be tagged as a bill. So there's a few strings that I look for in a message, because normally whenever it's a bill, it's the same string over and over. And when I'm using a string style messaging filter, meaning I'll filter from the subject of the message rather than using the address the message came from for these tags, I'll pull the string and I usually pick 3 to 4 words. 3 to 4 words that appear consecutively. So they can't just be like the first word, the middle word, and the last word. It has to be 3 to 4 words consecutively. I pick those 3 to 4 words that best sum up what the email is about, put that in the filter, and that way every time that message appears in my inbox, it will automatically be tagged. The tag just applies a color over it. So for a bill, let's just say orange, it'll pop up as orange. Now I also have other filters behind that will then take those messages and move them to a directory where they can be filtered out of the inbox. I just wanted them tagged first, so that way I can identify the bills from any other, say, newsletters that those organizations may also send out. Now at the bottom of my filters, I have other subject base filters, and these are manual ones. And basically, like for instance, my bank directory, I want to keep the important stuff from the bank, but all the other promotional garbage that they send, I don't want to keep all of that. But my main bank filter pulls from the domain. So anything from that domain that I have verified will be placed in the bank folder, including all of the promotional garbage that I don't want to see. The important stuff will be tagged so that I can easily identify it visually. And the other stuff that I don't want, I throw those into a separate manual filter so that it does not automatically run. That's important. And when I'm ready to do an archive on my bank folder, I run the manual filter on it first to filter out all the promotional garbage, which I have, you know, I continuously add to it, because as they come out with new promotional garbage, again, select 3 to 4 words from the promotional subject of the email, add that to the filter that I'm going to use to manually remove everything. And I run that filter against the bank directory to remove the garbage so that I can then archive the important stuff. All right, now that we went through all that, let's go ahead and switch over to Vim, and then we'll begin editing. All right, here in Vim, within our filter file, one thing you'll notice is all the filters are in this single file for the email account that we have selected. When you're using Thunderbird to create filters, it appears as though there's a separate file being created per filter. That's what the UI sort of visually implies. However, on the back end, the config or the file itself is just one file where each filter is spelled out in between two properties. The first is the name, where the filter begins, is called name. And the last will be condition. So everything in between those two properties are a part of the filter. And you'll see the word. So if you search name inside of that file, you'll see it appears numerous times based on how many filters you have. Same thing with condition. I do want to point out, you want to close your Thunderbird. You do not want your Thunderbird running while you're editing the filter. So if you have it open, now's the time to go ahead and close it before you start manipulating anything. Now, what we're going to look for is the condition. Those are the actual things that you have said, I want this stuff filtered out. So the domains, or if it's a specific email address or a subject, whatever, it's going to be located inside the section that says condition. I'm going to go ahead and select my very first filter, which is the deleted filter. And I see the conditions for it here on line 7. So I'm going to go ahead and use, let me go ahead and get Vim down there. I'm going to double Y on that to yank that line. Now let's open up Vim's command using the colon, type BN. So that's a Bravo Nano or whatever the other thing is, to switch to the next buffer, where CB will be waiting with a blank canvas for me. And then I'll press P to paste that condition into CB. And let me go ahead and source. Go into command mode in Vim under the CB file, do SO, and then we'll begin to select our session that we want to use here, which is the Thunderbird filter Vim session that I have created. So now that I have sourced that within CB, I now have access to those custom things that I've created to run on this file. All right, so one of the things you're going to notice when you put that filter in there, it's going to, depending on how many things you have in it, mine is quite long. It's been added to over the years, so it's going to go out quite far. It's going to start with condition, have an equal sign, followed by the double quotes. And now if I do the dollar sign, which takes me all the way to the end of the string, you'll see it'll have all the properties within it separated by the word or. There's a capital O-R, Oscar Rojo. And then at the very end of the string, there'll be another set of double quotes. Well, not set, but it'll be the completion of the set double quote. Let's use O to get back to the beginning. Now what I'm going to do to start my filter here, or to break down this filter, I should say, I'm going to use the leader key, which is the backslash leader key 1. There. And now my filter is completely broken down and separated into, so that way I can see every single element of that filter on its own line. Let's talk about what that function for mapping. Yeah, it's a map. Let's talk about what that map does. I'll have the maps for this Vim session inside of the show notes so you can see what it's doing. But let's talk about it real quick. So you see the very first one, it's a normal mode. That's what the first N is for. And then it's N-O-R-E. That's for no recursive map. Normal mode, no recursive map. Then you'll see leader, which is the leader key. I think the default is backslash 1, the number 1. So every time I press backslash 1, it's going to perform the functions you see that follow the commands that follow the text there. So let's talk about what that's doing. It's going to delete two words. The two words that we're looking at, well, one of them is not technically a word, but for Vim's sake, we're going to call it a word. It is the word condition at the beginning of the filter, followed by that equal sign and the first of the double quotes. Then it's going to run Vim's regex. It's like sed, but you know, it's basically sed. That's the closest thing I can think of. It's going to run this regex, which will look for each of those ORs, which is the separation in between the properties that you want to filter out, and space them onto their own lines. Now, one thing I want to point out is taking the space at the beginning of OR and replacing it with a new line. In Vim, the new line is not backslash N when you're doing regex, it's backslash R. So if you're going to see R forward slash backslash R. So we're replacing a space with a new line with that. And we're going to follow it up with a carriage return. Also, I used global on that because otherwise it would just stop at the first OR. So you use global to carry that through the entire string because it's a very long string. So that's our first leader thing that we're doing there. Now that we have it broken down onto their own lines, let me use GG to go to the top. Now I want to make sure that everything is lowercase, because if you have capital case letters and lowercase letters, it'll mess up with the sort function that we're going to use next. And we don't want that. So we build into this next mapping the ability to sort everything and make sure that it's lowercase before the sort happens so that everything gets alphabetized correctly. Otherwise, you'll have something with like a capital D placed in front of a lowercase a. Now, this part is not necessary. It's just something I like to do. Also, remove any duplicates. That's also another feature that I have built into this sort. So if you look down into the show notes, you'll see the next normal no recursive map set to leader S1. That's my sort function. You'll see that it goes to the top of the map using GG. I mean, not map, the top of the buffer, the file. It uses O to make sure it's in the very top left. Then it uses 2F so that it can find the second comma located within the filter. So if we switch over real quick. So once I have the lines broken down, it'll onto the, once I have the filter broken down where each element is on their own line, it should say OR, the capital OR. You have a set of parentheses with the word from, comma, contains, comma, then the thing that you want to filter out. All right, I'm taking a short break. My air conditioning just came on. I just wanted you to see what it sounds like with the air conditioning on, but I'm going to stop now and come back when the air conditioning goes off. All righty, where were we? All right, so in that leader S2, in the leader S1, we got our GG, top of the file, 0, make sure that we're on the very first character, F2, taking us to the second comma, followed by CV, which is control V. That's how you spell it in your when you're doing Vim mappings inside of your session file. We got our control V, which gives us visual blocking. So in your visual mode, you can do visual sections by using lowercase v and then selecting the text. Then you get your visual line, which will cover the entire line using capital V. Right now we're using control V, so we can select a specific block of text. After control V, you see we go to the very bottom of the file using capital G, followed by the dollar sign, which then takes that block toward the end of the strings. Then we have U, which takes everything that's selected by that visual block and makes it lowercase. Now the process starts over again, going to the top of the file using GG and zero. D2F, again taking us to the second comma with the control V, visual blocking, or selecting a visual block. G, bottom of the file, dollar sign, end of the block. And now we run the sort function. So you can see we go into command mode using the colon, followed by sort, and we sort using the U flag. Now this is Vim's sort, not the command sort that you normally do in the terminal. So you don't need the sort space hyphen U. When you're doing it in Vim, you just use sort space U. We follow that up with a carriage return, which is the greater than less than surrounding capital CR. That's how you do a carriage return in a Vim mapping. And then we move back to the top of the file using GG zero. So that's going to go ahead and take all of those different email addresses, or if it's a string based filter where I'm filtering from the subject, make it all lowercase, then sort it alphabetically. I don't know if I said this already or because I had to keep coming back and forth whenever the air condition comes on, but if you have a capital letter in there in your filters, it'll upset the alphabetical order that sort will use. So a capital D could be placed in front of a lowercase a just because it was capitalized. We want to avoid that, so we make everything, you know, lowercase first. Now, once we're done and everything's already filtered up and alphabetized, we should be at the top of our file. That's why I have the GG0 at the end of that mapping. And all we have to do is, like, say, for instance, if we have 50 lines of filters that have been broken down onto their own individual line, I'll just type in 51 and do a capital J. In Vim, the capital J will take the line beneath the line that you're on and bring it up to the line that you're on and separate it with a space. So you're restructuring the filter by doing the capital J. And I don't need an actual mapping for that. I mean, it's just, you know, type in the number of times you want it to happen plus the capital J, boom, it's done. So now that's going to restructure the filter. And then we have the last leader, which is the leader 2. You should see all of that in the show notes. The leader 2, which goes to the beginning of the string once it's been restructured using the capital I, inserts the word condition, equal sign, double quote, and, you know, rebuild the filter the way it was. And it should give an error when it runs, because that last little bit of regex on the end is just to make sure that there was no space before the last quotation. I have had that at times where there was like a space at the end of it. Sometimes it happens. There's another thing that happens as well when you're structuring when you're breaking down your filter. The very last item that gets broken down does not have a space after it, and you want to make sure that there's a space after it. So I have another thing I need to add in here. I think I forgot to add it. Let me go ahead and add that real quick. Okay, I just added it. I forgot to put it in when I was constructing show notes. But that item that is normally at the end of the filter will not have a space after it. So when it gets filtered, when it gets sorted alphabetically, it will break your filter if you don't have a space after it during reconstruction in the section where I mentioned I used the capital J to reconstruct the filter. So that's why we have the leader N 1. So before we do the capital J to reconstruct the filter onto one line again, we run leader N 1. it's going to perform the same type of regex that was done in leader S1, where it goes to the top of the file. It's going to select everything using capital V, then a capital G, go into command mode, and then use the set style regex to ensure that there is a space at the end of the line. So if there's not a space there, it will add one. And if there's more than one space at the end of the line, it'll reduce it to a single space. And it's going to follow that up with a carriage return and take you back to the top of the file so that each of the individual elements, when they're separated onto their own line, you can ensure that every single one of them have a space at the end of the element so that when you do the reconstruction using capital J, it all fits together properly. Otherwise, one of those sections that is separated by the capital R or, you know what, I'm just going to finish recording through it because the air conditioning keeps coming on and off. I'm sorry if it bothers you with the hum of the air conditioner. I try my best to edit it down. So that's normally where your filter is going to break. One of those ORs will not have a space either before it or after it. So I like to take care of that ahead of time. Now, at the very end of your filter as well, before the last quotation marks, once you've used capital J to reconstruct it, and then you run the leader 2, which reinserts the word condition equals quotation, and then it replaces the other quotation at the end of the filter. Sometimes there'll be a space before that last quotation. And that's why you see that regex in there removes that space before the last quotation at the end of the string. So if you get an error, that's because there was no space before the last quotation, which in that case is fine. Nothing to complain about. You get an error because there was no space there. If you don't get the error, that means there was a space there and the regex worked. It took it away. Now I always double check. I just do a dollar sign to bounce to the end of the string, take a quick peek. Okay, no space. It's got the double quote there. Zero to take me back to the base there. I save it into the clipboard, command mode W, double Y to yank that. Then I use the buffer 1, go back into command mode B1 to take me back to the first buffer, which is my message, which is the filter. I use P to insert the now reconstructed filter into the file, and I delete the old one and save it. After doing that, leave it open, load Thunderbird, open up Thunderbird, and check your filter. And you do this before you edit every single condition, because what'll happen is if, for instance, you skipped a step and there was a space missing in between those ORs, you'll get an error when you load the filter. So when you try to run the filter, Thunderbird will say something like does not recognize filter, something simple like that. And you'll know, oh, I must have a space missing. I was thinking about creating a second regex just to filter in between those ORs and making sure that there was a space in between there. But I mean, right now it works flawless. I have no problems. But if it does come up in the future, I'll probably end up doing that. I'd probably just include it anyway, just as a safety feature, something to run once I've reconstructed the filter completely and done the second leader two. So in quick recap, open up your file, your filter file, go to see your blank file, which in my case is CB, grab the condition that you want, which is your actual filtering properties, paste it over into your blank file, run leader one to break it down. Run leader S1 to perform the sorting and capitalization corrections, or the capitalization first, then sort. Then run leader N1 to make sure that everything has a space after it. Perform the capital J. So if you have 50 different elements, then you'll do 51 capital J to reconstruct it all back onto one line and complete the process using leader 2. Which will add the condition equal, et cetera, et cetera. Then you can just copy that back over to your filter, the actual filter file from Thunderbird, delete the old line that you yanked from, replacing it with the new one that you've alphabetized and everything else, and you're good to go. Now, what you'll also notice is the line may be shorter. That's because if you had duplicates in there, the leader S1 with that sort function, the U attached to sort sort was going to remove duplicates. So that's why if the line ended up being like one or two short, yeah, that's why it took out the duplicates, which is good. Your filters has to become more complex over years, and you end up with those duplicates, it'll slow things down, especially if you have a Yahoo email address. The Yahoo servers are terrible, and you might think it's Thunderbird being slow, but it's not. It's actually Yahoo, or you know, wherever you're pulling your mail from, that's where it's bogging down. And this is just how I manage my filters. Now, there is not currently a filter for archiving mail, otherwise I'd be using it. Instead, what I'm working on doing now, because I've managed, you know, multiple different email accounts from different places, after I clean things up and got rid of all the promotional garbage, I do a control A inside of Thunderbird, inside of the directory with the important emails I want to keep. Control A selects everything. Then I just tap the A key, and the A key is a shortcut for archive in Thunderbird. In the show notes, I'll have some Thunderbird keyboard shortcuts. I have a link to it anyways, and that way you can familiarize yourself with the shortcuts. I hope this episode has been informational. I apologize if I stumbled over myself a little bit. It's because I've been trying to work around the air conditioning, and I did not want you to be bothered by the loud hum from the air conditioning. Let me know what you think. If you want more on Thunderbird, especially the email filters, let me know. I'll try to put some time in on that. Thank you guys for listening to Hacker Public Radio. Please do a show in response if you can, or a show on anything else. Maybe you've got some cool tips about Thunderbird that we haven't heard about yet, and you feel like we need to know about them. Go ahead and do a show. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.